The following programming is sponsored by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hello, and welcome to Positively Pro-Life Podcast. Positively Pro-Life is brought to you by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation and aims to bring you inspirational stories and conversation, important legislative updates, and informative interviews as we seek to restore and strengthen a culture of life. I'm your host, Ramil Tani, Education Director at the Federation, and co-hosting with me is our Acting Executive Director, Maria Gallego. Welcome, Maria, to the show.
Thank you so much, Ramil. It's great to be with you today.
You know, we are in for a great interview today. And if you've been listening to us over the past few weeks, we have been following the abortion pill case very closely. And last week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case FDA versus Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. And today, to unpack for us what happened at the hearing is Dr. Alan Parker from the Justice Foundation. But before we go into the interview, let's hear Maria's update for the week, followed by a little inspiration story.
Thank you so much, Ramil. The Florida Supreme Court issued two separate decisions this week impacting the right to life for preborn children and their mothers in the state of Florida. We are pleased that Florida's laws protecting preborn children were upheld, said Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. However, the court is allowing an extreme and detrimental ballot measure to move forward. In a 6-1 ruling, the Florida Supreme Court upheld Florida's law protecting preborn children from most abortions after 15 weeks. The decision paves the way for additional protections for preborn babies beginning at 6 weeks. In a 4-3 decision, the court ruled in favor of a broad ballot measure for a constitutional amendment that would allow abortions up to the moment of birth. The ballot initiative, if passed in November, would provide no protections for preborn children. Its vague language would allow abortion for any reason and would allow abortions to be performed by any healthcare provider or non-physician. Tobias continued, Florida has made tremendous advances in protecting innocent human life and protecting support for mothers. This ballot initiative would destroy Floridians' hard work in creating a culture that supports and protects life. And that is from a National Right to Life news release. And certainly all eyes are going to be on Florida this November. Ramil.
Thank you, Maria, for that update. Now, I don't know how many of you can relate to this, but I absolutely love reality talent shows, The Voice, American Idol, Britain's Got Talent, like all of it. And one of the things that I came across this past week and a little over a week ago was this year's American Idol, which has a teen mom who auditioned with an original song called The Place That I Call Home. Now, she wrote this after finding out that she was pregnant at 16 years of age. And Kate Gardner, who is now 18, came out on the show and sang this beautiful melody. And the lyrics of it was just so sincere and pure because that song was written for her son, Cooper. And so I just thought I'll share a little bit about a part of her song lyrics. So, you know, this is the heart of a woman who is pregnant at 16. It goes like this. They say I'm too young and I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know one thing's for sure, that I love you more than anything I have before. And I didn't know that I needed you after everything my heart had been through. Every moment that I walk with you, I learn things I never knew. With all my heart, I'll hold on to you and make sure that every dream comes true. It's not how I thought it would turn out. The place that I call home now is anywhere and time that I'm with you. Now, after singing the song, at the end of it, one of the judges, Luke Bryan, actually said to her, the sky's the limit. I mean, they all recognized the talent that she had and also just singing from the heart that she did. But along with, it was not just the song and the maternal love that the song was filled with. What was also cool to see was her baby Cooper, her boyfriend, and her dad had all accompanied Kate to that audition. So the whole thing just spoke to me of how when a woman has a support system around her, even an unplanned pregnancy can become a strength and inspiration to go and achieve all the dreams dreamt, not just for herself, but also for this little baby that she now has. So Kate was a terrified pregnant junior in high school 2 years ago, and now she is auditioning with her own original song, which was also a result of an unplanned pregnancy. So I'm rooting for Kate during the American Idol, and I hope if you guys can get a list can go and listen to her song. It's a very, very beautiful and touching song. So that's our story for the week. And moving on, as already mentioned, our guest today is Dr. Alan Parker, president of the Justice Foundation. He is a former professor of law at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, Texas, where he taught education law and civil procedure. Dr. Parker was also lead counsel for Norma McCorvey, formerly Roe of Roe v. Wade, from 2000 to 2012, and Sandra Cano, the Doe of Doe v. Bolton, until 2014, in their efforts to overturn the two landmark cases that brought legalized abortion on demand to America. Now, the Justice Foundation's ministries, Operation Outcry, Center Against Forced Abortion, and the Moral Outcry, provide legal assistance to men and women hurt by abortion. And we'll hear more directly from Dr. Parker himself. So, Dr. Parker, welcome to Positively Pro-Life.
Thank you for having me on. It's a great pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you as well. And to start us off, I think we'd like to hear from you a little bit more about your organization and the three ministries that I just mentioned: the Moral Outcry, the Operation Outcry, Center Against Forced Abortion. What does that mean? What do you do there?
Well, thank you. We are a 501c3 charitable organization, which means that we represent people at no charge in the cases that we take. We can't do everything, but in these three areas, primarily pro-life work right now, when we do represent someone, we don't charge them anything. So the Moral Outcry is something that anyone can join. It's the Moral Outcry petition movement to make abortion illegal and unthinkable in every state, including Pennsylvania. And it may seem strange, but as we talk today, I think I'll be able to present ideas to you and your audience that they could persuade Pennsylvania to make abortion illegal. And number one is because it is a crime against humanity. It is killing a human. What's the alternative to that? So we're going to talk about that today. Operation Outcry is point number two. Abortion hurts women. The second, so the arguments are abortion is killing a child, but it also hurts women. We think we're helping women. Operation Outcry is thousands of women that we represented and do represent. And for example, you mentioned the abortion chemical pill case. We represented 2,743 women hurt by abortion in that chemical abortion pill case, saying, "Please stop hurting other women," as we were devastated by our abortions, suicide, suicide attempts, depression, anxiety, sexual dysfunction, inability to hold jobs, decades of trauma. That's what Operation Outcry is. And women who can find healing and forgiveness from abortion, it's not the unforgivable sin, but it is a terrible sin, but we don't bring condemnation, get forgiveness and healing, and then be a witness for truth. And then the third is one of the ways that abortion hurts women is that once you make abortion legal, it can allow others to force a woman to have an abortion. And no matter what state you're in, even if it's rabidly pro-abortion, only a voluntary abortion is legal in those states. I live in Texas, where abortion is illegal except to save the life of the mother. But everywhere, I think Pennsylvania is a little more pro-abortion in its laws. But even in Pennsylvania, a forced abortion is illegal. The three most common types are adult parents forcing a teenager to abort her child because they don't want a baby. The second is adult male forcing a woman to abort his child because he doesn't want to be a father. And number three is human trafficking and prostitution. Our website has legal tools that anyone in your audience can use to stop a forced abortion. We have a Dear Parent letter telling them, you can't do this. You could be liable for crimes for doing this. And we estimate we're saving 1,000 to 2,000 women a year. And overall, we have 4,794 sworn testimonies about how abortion hurts women. About half of them are forced or pressured abortions. So everyone can agree. Even Secretary Hillary Clinton agreed that China forcing women to have abortions is a bad thing. And everyone agrees forced abortion is bad. And the moral outcry is to convince everybody eventually that all abortions are bad for the child. Every single one of them results in the death of a human being. Many, half, maybe more, hurt the woman as well. And we have a new alternative to abortion. Pennsylvania has one. Every state has one. It's called the Safe Haven Law. And we put these in our briefs to the U.S. Supreme Court, but it's an argument you can make to your friends and neighbors in your town. What is the argument? No woman has to have an abortion to be free from the burden of parenting. That's why women get an abortion. They don't say, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm sick. No, most women will have a baby at some point in their life and they're not sick, they're happy. But if they're unhappy about having the baby, it's raising the baby that's the problem. And so the Safe Haven Law in Pennsylvania, it's a 28-day law. You can walk out of the hospital and leave your baby behind. And by the way, if you're low income in Pennsylvania, if you don't know who's going to pay your medical bills, Pennsylvania will pay all your medical bills of pregnancy, your care, delivery, aftercare. You can walk out of the hospital, leave the baby behind, safe haven it, or bring the baby back to a hospital or emergency room within 28 days of birth. So you have this long period of time as a woman to decide, do I want to keep a baby or not? A lot of women are afraid when they first get pregnant. Oh, I might not have a job. Maybe I don't have a job now. Maybe you will have a job when your pregnancy is time for delivery. So in exchange for some months of pregnancy, we're advocating, let's take killing the child and hurting the woman off the table. Let's not do that. But let's offer the woman, we'll pay your medical bills and we will take the child from you through the Safe Haven Law. It's free, unlike abortion. Why spend $1,500 on abortion when you can have a free Safe Haven Law? You can give life to that child, even if you're not able to care for it. So then the last argument, what will happen when if women start safe havening their baby? Are they going to be neglected and abandoned in foster care? No, because there are 1 to 2 million families every year in America desperately waiting to adopt newborn children. And it's a rolling cohort basis. Women come out of it and into the 15 to 44 age bracket. There's always going to be women who want to adopt the babies. So it's the love, love, love solution. We can end the abortion wars just like we ended slavery and segregation. And there's no exceptions for slavery. There's no exceptions for segregation. We just take care of the problem and help people. That's what Pennsylvania already does through the Safe Haven Law and Medicaid for low income. And of course, we know, and your audience knows, in addition to that government safety net of the safe haven, there are hundreds of pregnancy centers, thousands across America, that will help the woman with all kinds of needs at no charge.
What were your takeaways from the recent Supreme Court oral arguments regarding the abortion pill?
Well, the court focused intently on the issue of standing, which is a legal doctrine, meaning can someone sue to stop this injury? There's no question that women are being hurt badly. We represented, for example, Abby Johnson, who was the person whom the movie Unplanned was made about. Many pro-life people have seen that. There's a terribly bloody scene in the middle of the movie where she's on the floor of her bathroom in a pile of blood, wondering what to do with her baby. And we represented other women who have been hurt by abortion and the abortion pill particularly. But the court didn't get to the heart of the matter in the oral argument. Now, we're hoping in the reasoned discussion and the writing it'll come out. But all abortion is bad because it kills a baby, and most of the time it hurts the woman. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said abortion is a painfully difficult decision for most women. If it's just removing a wart or a scar from your ear, why would that be morally difficult? No, she knows. It's all of us know. We're talking about the life of a human being, or some will say a potential life, but it's already a life. Anyway, but the difficult for the pill, and I want to tell your audience members who may know someone about to take the pill, here's why it's more dangerous, more deceptive, and harder on the woman. Britney Spears wrote about this in her book and said she had it. It was wrong to have it at home by herself. When she goes to the doctor, he performs the abortion. He disposes of the child's remains. But when a woman takes the pill, she becomes the murderer herself, whereas before she felt like she's getting a medical procedure. No, I gave myself the pill. And most women will look down when the pill, when the baby's expelled. There can be a lot of blood. You can see the baby. I'm going to be a little bit graphic, but like, you can look in the toilet and see your baby. Some of the women have reached in and got the baby out of the toilet to clean it up and say, the first woman who ever called me after an abortion pill was sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. They lied to me. They lied to me. They told me it was not a baby. They told me it was a mass of tissue. I can see my hand, the baby's hands and arms. Can I bury my baby in the backyard? And I had to tell her, you can't bury human remains in the backyard. So does she flush it down the toilet? Does she keep it herself? Does she bury it anyway, as many of the women do? But the reality is, for all of us drinking water in America, your local sewage system is being flooded with hundreds of thousands of baby bodies down the toilet. And we don't even know what that does to the water supply in America, because you're also taking these pills that kill a baby and you're flushing them into your water supply. And there's been a request to have the APA study that, but the abortion industry didn't want to have to deal with the human remains. And so they've pushed it onto the woman by saying it's just a mass of tissue. It'll be like a period. And one of our women's testimonies is about standing in the Walmart. She took the first pill. Then she went to go get pain relievers that were prescribed. And while she was in the, I think it was a Walmart she was waiting for, she began to bleed from the insem of her blue jeans down to her boots. So she went to the bathroom and removed the baby there and put it in the feminine napkin disposal. So it is a terrible, terrible thing. That's at the heart of the abortion pill dispute. And we put a lot of great evidence in. The whole pro-life movement did a lot of good evidence. And we just need everyone praying for the Supreme Court. We're commanded to pray for those in authority, 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 8. And we all need to pray for our Supreme Court. They face a lot of big decisions this year.
That is quite eye-opening, the far-reaching consequences of the abortion pill and just the abortion procedure in general. Like, oh, wow, there was a lot of new information there, even for us. And when we were following the case, one of the words that was thrown out was that of sovereign immunity. The FDA claimed that they have sovereign immunity over regulatory processes. Now, especially for a case like this. Now, is that something that the FDA can get away with? Or is can that be disputed?
To a great, there's a great deal of truth in that claim, unfortunately. It is very hard to sue the government. And the women are left with very little remedy. It is possible to sue your abortionist for failing to disclose these things to you. Every woman is entitled to informed consent, before she consents to a medical procedure. Otherwise, it's a battery. Someone is giving you a poison. And sadly, that's another problem, that the pill and distributing it to everyone allows third parties to give the woman the pill to solve their problem. It could be a form of forced abortion. There's already been a lawyer in Houston, Texas, who's in jail for 6 months for giving his wife a pregnant. He was having an affair with a mistress. He didn't want his wife. He was going to divorce her and kill the baby. And now he's got 6 months in jail for that. A mother in Texas has been arrested. A male nurse in Washington State has been arrested for doing it. And sadly, we were attempting to help prevent a forced abortion in Tennessee recently. And over the weekend, the girl who was being forced to have an abortion started having a miscarriage, and her mother wouldn't take her to a doctor. So we're a bit of afraid that the doctor got a pill and slipped it into her drink. Pregnant mothers are now under risk of anyone who doesn't want them to have that baby slipping a pill that you can get, even if you're a man, on the internet. You don't have to have a doctor. You can order these pills. So one of the issues in the case that was mentioned was this Comstock Act. It's illegal to send an abortion-producing drug, which these drugs are. That's what they call it. It's an abortion-producing drug. It's illegal to send that through the mail. So we can also be praying that the Supreme Court will uphold that law and say, you can't send this stuff through the mail. The federal government has to enforce the law and stop sending these through the pill. At least if you go to a doctor's office, they might screen for forced abortion. Sadly, they don't always do that, particularly at Planned Parenthood and other places. But there's less likely than if someone is buying the pills online and slipping them into your food or drink. So pregnant women, beware. If you want to keep your baby, but there's somebody not, be very careful. If you start feeling bad, and you, this pill can be reversed if you catch it within 48 hours, there's a chance of it, substantial chance, called the abortion pill reversal process. And if women just take the pill, and again, everything I know about abortion comes from the thousands and thousands of women I represent and their testimonies. But women say, some of them regret it as soon as they take the pill. Oh my God, what have I done? And they want it reversed. There is an abortion pill reversal network. You can Google abortion pill reversal. We don't do that. We're lawyers, not doctors. But there are doctors that will help you. And all they have to do is give you the life-saving hormone that helps the baby live. The other doctors are giving you chemicals that kill the baby. So if you stop that and give life-saving baby, often the baby will live. I don't know the exact statistics right now, but they're saving lots of babies through abortion pill reversal.
Yeah, I think it's something like more than 60% can be saved through the abortion pill reversal process, which is just excellent. We've got probably less than 4 minutes left, and I'm wondering if you can address the whole issue. In Pennsylvania, a lot of politicians talk about choice and freedom with respect to the abortion issue. But I think that with the abortion pill and with other abortions, we're really talking about a lot of women who feel as if they have no choice and they feel as if they have no freedom. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. Women, as I say, we have thousands of sworn testimonies from women that say they were pressured into having an abortion, sometimes by school counselors, sometimes by parents, sometimes by the boyfriend or the boyfriend's parents, who don't want them to have, you ruined my son's life. Now, here's the money. Get on the plane. I'm taking you to another state. We've had people do this, and it's very hard for a minor to do that. But even adult women, maybe the boyfriend's excuse, well, you and I have done drugs together. I'm going to tell CPS, and you're going to have your children taken away from you. That's coercion. That's pressure. There's no freedom. And even the freedom of Roe v. Wade, which was the dream of not having parenting, that can be had in Pennsylvania without killing the child and without hurting the woman through the Pennsylvania Safe Haven Law. No woman in Pennsylvania has to parent a child if she doesn't want to. As soon as that baby is safely born, then she can walk out of the hospital and never have to parent that child, never have to pay child support, nothing. And so you can have the freedom that women want without people forcing you to have an abortion, number one, or without killing the child and hurting yourself, even if it's your voluntary choice. Because women are lied to by the abortion industry. They're told it's just a mass of tissue. And or in the FDA case, what happens, it's a termination of pregnancy. What kind of language is that? You know, women don't talk about, doctor, I have a fetus. Can you remove the fetus or can you terminate my pregnancy, doctor? No, I'm pregnant. But there was no question in the Supreme Court. Well, what are you pregnant with? A human child. That's what's in human mothers and human fathers produces humans. It starts in the womb when the sperm and egg come together. Science clearly shows this. And let me just say, all of this help for anybody in your audience that would like to do it is on our website. The legal documents are there for free. Training on how to use them is there for free. And it's free through the voluntary contributions of people who support us. So you can make a donation on our website too, if you'd like to do that. And it'd be deeply appreciated. We can't survive if we can't keep the doors open. We can't help people. So thank you.
This has been an eye-opening experience doing this podcast with you today. I think a lot of people have heard things that they have not heard before. And I'm hoping that hearts will be changed as a result. So we want to thank you, Dr. Alan Parker, President of the Justice Foundation, for being on Positively Pro-Life today.
Thank you. And there's also a copy of my book available on the website, Reversing Roe v. Wade, My Journey with Roe, Doe, and God. It's an amazing story of the miracles that God did to end Roe v. Wade and reverse it in the Dobbs case. So I think he's on our side and we need to keep fighting.
Thank you so much for mentioning that.
I'm going to quickly jump in and tell you that the website is thejusticefoundation.org. That's where you can find all of Dr. Parker's resources.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Remmel and Dr. Parker. You know, Positively Pro-Life is made possible through the generous support of the members of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation all across the Commonwealth. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is the largest single-issue pro-life organization in the Keystone State, with nearly 40 local county-based chapters. We shine a spotlight on the most vulnerable individuals. Thank you for joining us. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.